Welcome to The Climb, the podcast where we conquer our inner mountains. I'm Natasha Wallstra, your host and guide on this transformative journey. This show is brought to you by the Inner Mountain Foundation, inspired by the work of Diane Wong, empowering women everywhere to stand up, speak out, and make a difference. Every episode, we explore a theme related to personal growth and empowerment, drawing on the experiences and insights of extraordinary women. This isn't just a listening experience. It's a call to action, an invitation to grow, and a journey of discovery. So are you ready to embark on today's climb? Let's begin.
Cool. Robin, welcome. Long time no see.
Yeah. That's a joke. We saw each other on Monday for the first time ever.
For the first time ever, yes. And actually, with that, I'd love to express some gratitude to you and Amanda for joining me. I think I gave you guys like 5-day warning / zero context as to what we're doing, but we met in Las Vegas for an Intermountain event, and it would not have been the same without you two. And so I really, really appreciate you joining really again with zero context.
So,
it's one of those things too, like it's a random opportunity, but you never know what can come from it. And at least if for anything, you'll be getting, you'll be part of a mini series of the Intermountain and got to understand a little bit more about Diane and why this foundation and community is being started. And so again, I just appreciate you being there and trusting and having faith in me to join. And by chance, we get to be on a podcast today. So again, thank you for being here.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I feel like if you aren't taking the swings, what are you doing? So if someone says, hey, come to Vegas, I'm going to fly you out there for an opportunity. Like, what am I doing? If I can, I'm going to make it. Yeah.
Awesome. And I love the attitude too, because again, you never know what's going to come from it. And sometimes like going into something blind or taking a shot like that, at something like that, is just, it's very powerful, especially as, you know, we're not always in person anymore. And so having these IRL opportunities is just, it's very valuable. So it was so much fun too. And I really enjoyed getting to meet you in real life, because you and I met not too long ago, actually, through a mutual friend who recognized that you and I do something similar in the personal branding and social media world, just on different platforms. And so we've been supporting each other in that sense, which I think is absolutely amazing. So diving into exactly what it is you do, and before we do that, you know, tell me a little bit about you, Robin. What's your backstory?
Yeah. Okay. My backstory is a long and winding path that I feel like when I began to tell my backstory, you know, like a few years ago, once I had one, it felt so odd, and like I had to explain myself because it was so weird. And now, after a few more years have passed, I feel like it's actually a pretty typical millennial journey. So I will start at the very beginning, which is in college when I, you know, had that background that I've heard a lot of your other guests reflect, where it's pretty much go be a professional. That is your future. That is the path to financial security. It's what you need to do. There's no other option than that. And so I started my career as a chemistry major and then just kind of continued on with it. Like, honestly, for very petty reasons, for not great reasons, I kind of like science, was kind of interested in it, but never fully loved chemistry, but didn't know what else to do. So that path took me all the way through going to get an internship at a pharmaceutical company for a year. And then during that year, I applied to grad school, ended up doing 2 years of organic chemistry PhD program. Now, the thing about PhD programs, the great thing is that one, they're a job. So you get health insurance and, you know, a salary to live off of. And then the second great thing is that there's an escape hatch. So if you do it for 2 years and you decide this isn't for me, you can leave with your master's degree. So the day that I passed my final QM, you have to pass a certain amount to like get to be a PhD, because I was really in my brain, I was like, I want to know that I'm leaving on my own accord, not because I'm getting kicked out. So the day that I passed it, I walked up to my professor after I had the paper in my hand still, and I said, I'm leaving with a master's degree. I left. So by that point in time, to go back a little bit, I had been listening to podcasts obsessively, and I listened to comedy podcasts obsessively. And I also was watching like hours and hours of stand-up every day. And I thought to myself, well, sure, we're all watching 5-6 hours of stand-up every day. And we all wish we could be comedians, but we all know we can't. So that's really what I thought. I thought every single person was doing that. So because podcasts showed me instructions, which is really into getting into the online space and education, the podcast, just these comedians telling their story, they literally taught me you go to open mics, and open mics, anyone can show up at any day. And so I set a goal for myself when I left college to do an open mic before my next birthday. And I did it the day before my next birthday because I was that scared. I was literally practicing in my bedroom with my sister with a like Sharpie as the microphone and like doing it over and over again. Did the open mic, instantly loved it, fell in love with comedy and stand-up, also the community of comedians. And so I was like, this is it. For the first time in my life, it had all like clicked into place of the feeling you're supposed to have about doing something versus just like chemistry is like whatever. So I did basically my year after college was pharmaceutical internship, and then at night go to a bunch of open mics. And so when I was applying to grad school, it was all a lie for like my, I was still pretending that I was going to be doing this professional path. So by the time I went to grad school, I toured a bunch of places, but never considered going anywhere besides UCLA because I was like, I need to be in LA to do comedy. That's where the comedy scene is. So during grad school, I was a very mediocre grad student. So I did, you know, that you're supposed to be working over 12 hours a day, every day, maybe take like 4 hours off on Sunday. So just a light Sunday of just 6 hours in a lab, you know? And then, so I was just doing more of like 8 to 10 hours a day. And then I would go to do open mics all night. And that's how I was doing my night shift. So by the time I left grad school and said, I want a master's degree, I was like, I don't know how I'm going to make money, but this is my passion. I love comedy. So then the next few years of my life are I leave grad school, and thankfully I was able to get a teaching job because the teacher that I had taught for, I had been his TA in organic chemistry. He liked me and he got me hooked up with this job at a small university. So I was teaching chemistry by day and then doing comedy by night. And so that's like 5-6 years. And then COVID hits. And also what was hitting was I was about to turn 30 and I was really sick of being extremely poor because I was making, you know, when you're not a full professor, when you're just a random person picking up classes as an adjunct, you're making almost no money. So it was still probably the most rewarding work I've ever done, like teaching underprivileged people like chemistry, like they were going to break out of poverty and get to be nurses and doctors. And it was super rewarding, but they were paying me less and less each semester to do this work. And so at a certain point I was like, I can't do this anymore. And then it turns out that also by the way, I did not make it in Hollywood yet. Lots of opportunities, lots of close calls, but you know, hard to make a full-time living there too. And then it turns out, which I did not know. So this is a warning. If you love comedy and you're thinking about it, if you decide to get into comedy and you don't make it, eventually you will be offered a high paying marketing and advertising job, because it turns out that the exact same skill set that you need as a comedian to entertain, to be succinct, to be able to get attention is the exact skill set for marketing and advertising. So you're this artist, and this happened to so many of my friends, you like pour everything into art. You're so poor. And then eventually time grinds you down and you get offered a marketing job and you go, okay, sure. This sign is me now. So instantly, like it was like the day at my income literally tripled, like after the day I got this job, which was mind boggling. I lived my entire life making less than 30 grand. And then I did that for all of COVID. And that was great. It turned out to be an awesome startup, like the first marketing job that I got. And I did like just basically work from home all of COVID. And this marketing job happened to be for a wholesale marketplace, which was all basically imagine the top 1% Etsy sellers. Imagine like if you walk into the coolest neighborhood in your town and you go onto the main street and it's not Applebee's and McDonald's, but it's like, oh, it's like Cynthia's, you know, charms or like a really cool leather boot like shop. And it's like, this didn't come from Walmart. Where did it come from? Well, it came from makers and sellers who are all across the country and the globe. And they're a lot of them are handmade. Some of them are inventors and they work with factories. There's kind of all different ways that they get there. And they are really the indie product space. So it's not like big manufacturing. And so I got a big dose of their world, which I am into. I'm into like the crafting world and stuff. And I got a big dose of what it takes for them to make it as business owners. And what I noticed is that they really need help with social media and marketing, because these are more like artist personalities. They're super passionate about maybe keeping things environmentally friendly, less waste. But what they don't feel super comfortable with is putting a camera on their face, being really obnoxious and saying, "Hey, look at me. I sell these things and they're awesome." So as a result, they sometimes just need more help with their marketing and advertising. So anyway, that startup eventually got sold, right? And the startup kind of collapsed about a year ago. And I decided I'm going to start my own business, because I had worked with like over 500 brands during this job and gotten to know them really well. I really love the small business owner personality type, like just like the comedians, I feel very connected to them. And so that is my current business. I've been doing it for about a year. I love it. It's called the Idea Galaxy. And I use all of the skills that I've picked up. So now, as I kind of say, Natasha, also, by the way, thank you for letting me talk for so long. As you can just tell, I'll just go.
I love it. It's so intriguing. But it's true that like all the different pieces, they connect, right? And like in real time, you don't necessarily feel it. And maybe you almost feel crazy sometimes, but now you're doing what you're meant to be doing because of all your experiences, right? I think it's so cool.
Exactly. Yes. So now I can't kind of even believe it, but all the way back to chemistry, my approach to social media is very analytical. You need to run tests and experiments. You can't have a guess and just a gut feeling and go with it. Or you can, but then you need to look at the results and say, what do you do? That's what I take from chemistry. From comedy, I take, you know, how to be on camera, how to have a presence, how to be interesting and entertaining. And from teaching, I teach people how to do this with their own businesses. And then all the marketing and advertising techniques that I learned in this startup, which really, really grew me from someone that didn't have official business knowledge to feeling very qualified to speak about businesses. I take all of that stuff. So it's amazing. It's kind of this fusion where here I am, I'm 36 now. And I'm like, wow, it's just starting to lock into place. My life actually makes sense now.
Oh, I love it. So gosh, there's so many things to dive into on this. And I feel like each of those categories I want tips from, of like how to be good on camera and business aspect, like things that help with growing your business and that sort of thing. But, you know, one thing I realized that we both believe in is that done with you process versus the done for you process. Cause I know very much like you work with your clients and there's so much importance on having them part of this. Why do you think that is? And what does that relate to showing up as authentically you?
Yes. Oh, love that you said that. And that is definitely one of like the biggest things I believe in. And I also feel like I'm actively trying to correct like what I've seen social media companies do in the market. And I'm like, no, I think that there's two avenues of answers to that question. And I'm just going to go with like the more brass tacks one, because I think it's kind of, I don't know, it's more compelling to me. Trends and money. So the fact is that you cannot post one video on social media and get millions of views and thousands of purchases most of the time. Okay, right? Some people do make it to the NBA. Most of us need to look for other careers. So if you're thinking about, I need to promote my business or myself on social media, you need to view it like a process. And if you're a business owner and you're having, but I want to post and I want, in a month, I want to have all these sales. Here's my analogy. Did you start your business 1 month? And then after 1 day of trying to get customers, did you expect to have thousands of customers? No, you started your business and you knew it's going to be slow for a while, for a long while, most likely. Again, maybe not, but most likely. And I can't give up on myself as I'm growing those clients. The fact is that making social media videos is hard and it's a skill set. It's an artistic skill set. You're learning how to create short video content, which involves everything photography involves and performance. It's hard. It looks easy because we see people way younger than us doing it fluently. Remember that they were trained since birth with phones in their pockets. Have you hung out with kids these days? The trend is like, let me teach you these 30 new poses. And they go, put your leg here, your butt here, your finger here. You're like, I do look hot now. How did this 8-year-old know this is going to work? Because they're practicing it on the playground. We didn't get that. For us, being on camera is scary. So yeah. You need to view the whole thing as developing a process. And the other thing is trends, which is that it's just the trend to share your personal story. It's the trend to be relatable and authentic. It's not the trend to be a cold corporate company that just publishes polished product videos. No one cares about that. It's not engaging. So that's why I feel like you can't push off the responsibility of social media and marketing to someone else, which is what everyone wants to do. Every single business owner I get on the phone with, I go, if you had a magic wand, what do you want? And they go, I never open a social app again and I never think about it. And it just starts sending me tons of clients.
Leads,
yeah. And I go, cool. We all wish that, right?
Seriously. That's too funny. Well, so I have a question then. You know, when it comes to mindset around being on camera and showing up on social channels like this, especially for video, because as you know, this is something you're helping with actually this as we speak, is actually showing up on camera, because there's something very different to than just an image than video. How do you help with mindset and changing that, you know, reframing that so that it feels a little bit more comfortable, because it is challenging. And I know most women, especially that I work with, like they really struggle with putting themselves front and center, right? And that's what's holding them back from, that's why they want this magic wand of someone else to do it for them, because it's really hard, right? So what, how do you coach your clients through that? Asking for a friend.
Yeah, totally. I think it does come back to, I think the first thing is, as someone who's been through it, and also as someone who's experiences all of those things, not just in the past, but like currently, like it's like I go through plenty of ups and downs where I'm uncomfortable and I have to push myself through. First is just telling people, here's what's up, right? It's like, you're not going to expect to make this amazing in less than 6 months. It's going to be a process where you're growing. So at least, even if emotionally they don't want that, they can be like, well, someone told me it's true. So like, I'm not going to hate myself so much in like month two. Mm-hmm. And second, I am all about, you know, it's interesting. A lot of careers are inherently manipulative. Advertising and marketing is definitely one of them. But also think about teaching, parenting, and therapy. Those are inherently manipulative. So one of my teaching manipulations is that I only show people the next couple of steps. And it's like, in my mind, I know there's 800 more things you have to learn, but none of those matter right now. If you haven't posted a video of yourself with your face on camera, the only thing that matters is that you post a video of yourself with your face on camera. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what's wrong with it. I don't care what you're saying. Post it and let it go live, okay? And then from there, let's try to fix two things on that video. And it's just a process of doing that over and over and over again until you build the skill and build the habit.
Yeah, that makes sense. Although I just was like, oh, posting a video, that scares me. And actually, this goes into another topic, which is of huge concern, is, you know, social media and mental health, that the connection there, it's crazy how much it's affecting all ages, right? How do you handle that with your clients?
Totally. And you? Yeah. Glad you brought that up. I feel like it's a process. And okay, yeah, let's think. Mental health and social media. First, none of this stuff is more important than your mental health. So if you don't have the capacity to do it, don't do it. Like, take the week off, take the month off. Only do this stuff when you have the capacity, you know, and you want to. And second of all, I would say that I view social media like the gold rush. I think it is our generation's gold rush. And if you look into the history of the gold rush, most people didn't make it super rich off gold, right? These are these influencers that some people did. You walk up, you find the gold nugget. That's what everybody wants. That's not realistic for most people. And the gold rush was very damaging for a lot of people, right? It's like there's all of these, you're hiking out and you're like maybe getting a cut on your leg and dying on the way there or whatever. So social media, it's also very negative. However, the gold rush is also what created the state of California, essentially. San Francisco was a town of, I think, like maybe 100 people in tents. Mm-hmm. And then you check in a year after the gold is found and it's thousands and thousands of people. It built the entire state. So social media is our opportunity. It's nasty and has evil parts. And I also say, like, if you have ethical concerns about social media and you just hate these things, you're correct. I'm not going to argue about those things. And I say in my class, if you want to hang out with me and get a beer at happy hour and we can talk about social media and why it's bad and evil, I'll be right there with you and I'll agree with you. But during the if you're coming to me for social media training, and if you have a business where you want social media help, we don't have a lot of time to talk in class about, like, do we want social media to exist or not? We can just say at the beginning, we wish it wasn't here. We wish it was something else. Okay, well, we're still stuck here. What are we going to do? You know? Yeah. So that's kind of how I view it. I do not view social media as like a god or something to become totally comfortable with or to turn off your ethical blinders. It's just about realism. If you need it for your business, then, and you're already committed to posting, let's work on how you can do that and feel okay about it.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, if you had told me a couple of years ago that I needed to be on Instagram for my business, I probably would have said, I'm just not quite there for it right now. LinkedIn was my place and that worked for me because I was able to differentiate it. But for whatever reason at the time, Instagram was causing me some damage and stress. So I got off of it. But now I'm getting back onto it because I'm in the right mental place for it as well. And so understanding where you are, I think, is a big part of this.
Yeah.
So switching a little bit to just about the Idea Galaxy in your business, you know, you're in your first year of business. How has that journey gone so far? Have there been any surprises or obstacles that have come your way?
Yeah, it's been awesome overall. And definitely a ton of ups and downs. You know, it's always like when you're doing something you've done a bunch of times before, the ups and downs, you kind of know them already. So it's weird, like, doing this new project of, like, a business I'm taking really seriously. All my friends and family know that, like, most of my eggs are in this basket. And I'm like, oh, I've never done this before. And, like, these fears that come up are, like, intense because you're like, oh, I didn't know I was going to, like, you know, have this happen to me. What's been super cool is, and I think this is also, you know, a trend and kind of what we're all realizing is that there's no replacement for community. And I've realized how much my previous job really trained me to be competent and to understand and, like, the different phases. Cause, like, the first thing I did was that startup phrase, the lowest viable thing, you know, or like minimum viable product.
Yeah. MVP. Yes.
Exactly. So I was taught that. So I was like, okay, the first 2-3 months were just doing that. And that was really rewarding to be like, okay, I booked clients that off cold email that did not know me and they paid me money and they were happy with the services. And then after having like 3 or 4 of those, I was like, okay, now I understand what my product needs to be. And then I went like head first into product development for like 6 months. And I built out my entire course. And what I basically realized was that it's so much more emotional and about habit building. And also it needs to be each step by each step. Ironically, you cannot find very good tutorials about how to use social media on the internet. You'd think I'd type in how to do this on TikTok and it would come up, but instead it's some useless help article or some weird thing. So my class is it's video of my phone and what I'm doing. So you can see exactly where my finger points. And I go, okay, put your finger here and then click here and then click here. Because I realized if I don't provide that, then people don't know what to do. So that's what I built for 6 months. So it's really designed for someone who has never turned the camera on themselves. Maybe someone that's never even filmed a video for social media. And it teaches them every single step of the way. And then the other thing, I'm really trying to fix problems I see with other companies. Cause the other thing was like, it can't just be an e-course that you're watching.
Right.
I was like, it needs to be video, but it also needs to have customizable things. And you need to be getting actual feedback on the posts you make. So the other half of it is meeting with me once a month. And then each week I'm sending you my pros and cons or the things I think you did great and the things I think you need improvement on every single post that you make. So I built that course for 6 months and now I've been selling it for 3 months and it's been going pretty well. Kind of, you know, not, you're always, I'm always like, oh, but when am I going to be making as much as I was making as that fancy job? And as soon as I'm making as much as I was making at that fancy job, then I'm real. And before that, I'm fake. And so that's my current business owner struggle. I'm like, I'm real now. I'm making some amount of money and I'm real. So yeah.
Yes, you are definitely real and you're helping me already. So I kudos to you. And I love that you're approaching this differently with the e-course, the digital course, because I see, you know, I signed up for one a couple years ago and I looked back as to why I didn't complete it. And it turns out like only 4% of people actually ever finish digital courses that they buy, which is like a mind-blowing stat.
Yeah.
Right? But I think having that like done with you aspect to it, right? And getting the feedback in real time. And then even the fact that you're showing like step-by-step on videos, I think that's really interesting because it's hard technology. Like even though I grew up with it for the most part, obviously not like the younger generation, but I saw somebody once trying to show me CapChat and how to like edit a video. And she was doing this thing and I'm like, how did you just create this magic in one hand? It was so wild. So I think it's cool to see like the steps that you put together of how you're working on your business. And, you know, a lot of times we find ourselves working in the business and not on the business, right? But you mm-hmm. did a very, this is probably the like technical side of you that's like done a very good job of looking on the business.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. Thank you. And yeah, it just, that's like the teaching stuff, right? It's like, cause I love the internet and what it's done for education. I mean, YouTube is like the most powerful educational service in our society, I feel like. I mean, okay, I'm not going to compare that against all schools, but talking about like, you know, one thing, like I've learned so much from YouTube. However, you can't eliminate that personal touch. Mm-hmm. Someone that knows what's happening needs to look at your work and give you help. And so that's the part of teaching that can never go away. And that's what I really needed to have in my course. Also, I'm friendly, but relentless. If you drop off, you get busy. I get it. People, you know, at that startup, I learned business owners are busy. They're overwhelmed. They don't have time. So it's like, you know, buy this course and I'm going to be emailing you every 2 weeks being like, oh, are you ready? No shame, no guilt. If you're not, I'll just send you another email in 2 weeks. See if you're ready then.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. It's easy to get caught up in all that stuff. And actually, speaking of kind of all the noise that's out there in our day to day, what non-negotiable self-care routine do you have? Like something that you just have to do every single day, every week? What is that in your life?
Okay. So immediately all of my, I'm going to quote negative ones come to mind because the real answer is couch rot. Real answer is I need to lie on my back flat watching TV and zone out for hours a day. If I don't know what's going to happen if I don't do that. I've never done it for one day of my life, so I don't know. But now moving into more healthy ones. One thing is I am really bad about working out, but I'm responsible. So I paired that with getting a high energy dog. And so I was like, I know that if I have this dog that requires an hour of exercise a day, I will never slack on that. I'd feel too bad. Mm. So I have my high energy dog, Nova. She's very cute. And so it's cool because she pushes me to go to nature at least an hour a day. She pushes me to sit out in the backyard and play fetch with her or to take her on walks. So that's, and also like, if I don't want to do it, it's like, well, too bad, I have to. So
yes, I have my dog sitting right next to me here. And yesterday I had a pretty bad migraine. And so in between my calls, I went and sat outside and just laid in the sun and she just plopped right next to me. And I was like, oh, she's taking care of me. It's the sweetest thing. But it is nice having a dog that forces you to go out even when you aren't feeling well, right? It's nice mm-hmm. to be in nature and like have that moment of just relaxation and like being present, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Very cool. So just finishing up here, when we were at the event in Las Vegas on Monday, it was on Monday. I asked a question that your response was really quite interesting. So I'm going to ask it again here and I'd love to talk a little bit more about it. So it was just after International Women's Day. And what I wanted to hear from everyone that was at the event is, you know, in your history, what female or woman mentor, friend, family has been influential or made an impact in your life? And I'd love to hear your response again and kind of talk on that.
Yeah. So I talked about my boss that I had all the way back at that pharmaceutical job. So this is like, I'm 23, I guess. And It was working in the organic chemistry like section of pharmaceutical company, which is like the people, your job is to guess what new chemicals could be drugs and then to make them. And then you pass them off to a team that tests like, did this cure the disease or just kill all the cells? 99.9% of the time, it killed all the cells and you go back to the lab and make a new drug. So my boss there was the only woman who had a PhD in a group of about 50 PhDs. And we had just a very interesting relationship, you know? I think like what I'm going to do in this answer is kind of go out on a limb and remove some of the gloss and varnish that can maybe be put on female mentorships. Because was she a mentor of mine? Absolutely. She was a huge supporter of mine. But did we both take out our trauma on each other? Oh, absolutely. We did not have a hand-holding, we are two women empowering each other, and that's the only dynamic going on situation. She told me to my face, she only hired me because I was the only woman that applied, and she said that I was the least qualified candidate. There are lots of things that she said that were toxic and mean to me. At the end, she said, I learned from you that I'm not right to have interns and to have people under me. My personality is not right for this. And she was correct. No, that's not true. Maybe she could have learned and like, you know, improved. Like, I don't think people are static like that, but it was, she had that much insight out of it. And at, you know, halfway through being, you know, scared and bullied, I started to poke back at her. And I poked back at her with mean little digs that I would do and mean little quotes and like, and like getting like the guys in the lab to like, you know, be on my side a little bit. Now she, there's many, it was much, much, much in the other direction, but like still I did some stuff where I'm like, that was weird, you know? And after I left that job, I never stopped thinking about her. And as I became less of a student and more of just like a full woman in the workforce, and you actually experience the sexism you've told, you know, been told about, and you have so many little like knife cuts just at your entire persona, and you become kind of more hardened and being like, these things are real. And like, I need to look out for sexism. Right. I just always reflected more and more back on her and being like, all of the stuff that she had to go through was so intense. I'm sure I don't even know a fraction of it. I can just kind of imagine. And so I guess the lesson is just like, yeah, sometimes you both go through sexist things and you aren't at the place where you can just be best friends and heal from it. You just end up kind of, we kind of always had this alliance. It was never always like, it was never like horrible. You know, we always kind of knew like we got to have each other's backs. It wasn't like a nightmare, but it was contentious. There were like conflicts within the relationship, and we both did weird stuff to each other. So yeah, that's someone I always kind of think about as like helping me out start my journey.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Cause again, mentorship, it's sometimes, I've actually like fired a mentor before. I don't think that's the right word for it, but like someone who challenged me in a way that like, it turned out we weren't meant to be like it wasn't meant to be mentor mentee anymore, but we learned a lot from it. And so it's one of those things that you just never know what can come from it. But it, like also these experiences in your past, they may not have been the most positive experiences, but you still learn from that, right? There's always like a positive spin to those types of experiences. And I think that's just something that I took away from that too, of like understanding that all of the things that you go through, even if it is negative, like you can find ways to look at a positive side from it. So
totally.
I just thought that was an interesting take on it. So
yeah, and no hate on her, and I have lots of respect for her, and I always have. And yeah,
it was so wonderful having you on here today. And I'm actually laughing. I have here the top of my notes here of when you started watching podcasts and everybody, you know, was wishing to be a comedian. I was like, I don't think I've ever in my life wished to be a comedian. I'm just not that funny. I was like, how is that? That's so different. We have that. But, you know, what are the best ways to get in touch with you? And especially if people are looking to learn more about your time as a comedian and how you do improv, because that is so impressive. And I know that that's such a key part to public speaking, right? And being more comfortable on stage and on video, right? So I'm sure people would be very keen to learn more from you. And what is the best way to connect?
Everything's branded under the Idea Galaxy. So my email is Robin, R-O-B-I-N, at the Idea Galaxy. And that's also my website and my handle. So that is the most straightforward way.
Perfect. Well, again, I appreciate you so much. And it was so great to meet you a couple days ago in Vegas. And
yes.
I'll see you on Monday for our call.
Okay. Super excited. We're going to get you on video. Keep smiling.